You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 223. And today we're going to learn some cutting-edge biohacks that will actually improve our business success. You ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifier for expertpreneurs who want to become a highly paid authority in their field. And today, I'm super excited to share this guest with you. I got to know her when we recorded this episode, and since then, we have had so many great collaborations that have surfaced. It's my privilege to bring her extraordinary work to you today. I'm a huge fan of what Angela does because I've personally found that not having the right foundation for my energy and my fuel source to do big things had really impacted my business along the way. And what she teaches is really powerful. So I highly recommend you get a pen and a paper out. You're going to want to take good notes today. Even if you already have good health, there are things we can do to gain an edge in our performance, to really take things to the next level and hopefully avoid a lot of problems that surface as we age. So love today's episode so much. And another thing that I truly believe we have to do as business owners is we need a solid foundation to accelerate our authority. Now, authority basically means that you, in the eyes of your potential client, are seen as a credible expert and the go-to person. And if you deliver a service, if you are a coach, you're a consultant, you're a trainer, in any way, shape, or form, you are building a business and generate income based on your expertise. This is so important. As we continue to evolve and grow in the online space, it's really hard to find what you're looking for unless you're standing out in a crowded market. I would love to share my 7-step system with you. Just head over to authorityamplifiers.com, making this absolutely free for you. There's a download with 7 of my proven steps, that little things that make a huge impact to your visibility, to your revenue, and to your peace of mind. So you're not scrambling, trying to put all the puzzle pieces together and figure out what do I need to do to make more money. This is the system to follow. Enjoy. It's taken me 21 years to figure out all the pieces, but that works when you work the process. Again, at authorityamplifiers.com. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome back, Amplifiers. I am so excited for today's conversation. We're going into entrepreneurial biohacks for business success. And I'm going to have a little fun with this. This is how we can sleep our way to success. So for all of you that thought that was a no-no, nope, we are going to do it. We are going to sleep our way to success. Let me introduce you to Angela Foster. Now, Angela left the world of corporate law to become one of the UK's leading female biohackers, health and performance coach to athletes and executives. Angela uses a combination of modern science, such as DNA analysis, with time-honored holistic practices to transform her clients' health, their energy, and their performance. And one thing I love about her as I've been getting to know her is she never stops researching, experimenting, and sharing her findings at My DNA Edge. But most importantly, Angela is tackling something that I think is crucial for entrepreneurs. And oftentimes, we are not doing this very important piece of the puzzle. So Angela, thanks for leading the way in this conversation in the world and bringing some new clarity to what simple things we could be doing that have a massive impact on our business.
Hey, Melanie, it's so great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show. And I love that introduction, Sleep Your Way to Success. It's a great opener.
I was like, ooh, I hope she likes that because, you know, we've been taught that's a no-no. We don't do that. But we're talking about the good kind of sleep. So
exactly.
Might as well have some fun with it all. So we're kind of opening this up with sleep. And here's what I know about 3 out of 5 entrepreneurs that I've coached or I've been in masterminds with have mentioned or have admitted that getting enough sleep is a problem for them. And I know this is a big cornerstone of what you talk about, that sleep affects an entrepreneur's ability to lead. Can you maybe like unpack that for us a little bit? What are you finding about sleep and success?
Yeah, for sure. Sleep is literally the foundation. It's so fundamental. And I think it's the first thing that people are willing to let go of, actually. It's that curious situation where I think because people maybe don't fully understand sleep, so demystifying it a little bit helps. But we tend to think we're almost too busy to sleep, or you hear expressions like, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. Actually, it's the fastest way to get there if you sacrifice your sleep so much. And I think Matthew Walker really sums it up in his book, Why We Sleep, that it is the best performance enhancing drug that we have, or performance enhancing hack, and it's completely free. And it makes everything easier. It makes you more productive, more creative, and you have greater emotional resilience. So it really is a performance hack, apart from the tremendous health benefits that happen, which we can talk about when you do sleep. And, you know, nature hasn't found a way to dispense with it. And we really are our most vulnerable, not any longer now that we live in secure homes and things, but historically we would have been our most vulnerable when we were sleeping. And we still need it to this day. And it's so, so important. So we can dive into that a little bit if you want to.
I do, but before we do that, because I am one of those people that I have to have 8 hours. Like if I don't have 8 hours, I'm worthless, right? But I know people who have bragged that they live on 4 hours of sleep. And I know other people who really struggle with the quality of their sleep. So I'm wondering, like, for these people that think they're superhuman and they don't need sleep, are there some signs that they are actually sleep deficient and it's impacting their success and their business?
I think that sometimes there will be visible signs, and it's often not until they correct it that they realize what a tremendous difference it makes. Mm-hmm. But I think that sometimes it's silent, and that's probably the most scary thing. So we know that sleep problems and lack of sleep precede dementia, and there's growing evidence in terms of coming out of the links. And while there isn't necessarily a specific link that it causes it, what we know is that the body goes through certain processes during sleep that very much protect and enhance the health of our brains, including things like clearing a buildup of plaque in the brain, one of which is beta amyloid plaque, and the cerebral spinal fluid comes up and washes it effectively, and in a process known as glymphatic drainage. And so I think to feel that your performance is not impaired by lack of sleep is not the case. And maybe people are not understanding what a difference it could make. In actual fact, the chances of you genetically requiring 4 hours or less is so, so tiny. It's so tiny. You're more likely to be struck by lightning than to possess that gene. Is it true that everybody needs kind of 8 or 9 hours of sleep? No. The guidance is somewhere between 7 and 9. And there has been some studies that show that the longest lived people, and there are always studies on either side of the coin, as with anything based around this sort of science, a bit like with nutritional science. But there has been a large study showing that the healthiest people sleep 6.5 hours. I think actually those people are often very healthy when they need less sleep, as opposed to them compromising their sleep. We tend to see as health declines, people actually need more sleep. But as a general rule, most people need somewhere around 7 hours. But the quality is extremely important, as you rightly point out. And I think getting that balance of deep sleep, which naturally declines with age, and also that rapid eye movement sleep, as well as light sleep, is really, really key.
Okay. You've got me. You've got me wheeled in here. Luckily, I'm one of those people that usually gets good quality sleep, but I know people that don't. So I know this is going to be very interesting. You know, you talk about in your work how to get more sleep in less time. Okay, you have to explain that. And how does that work?
So really it's about, so generally when people spend time in bed, we're talking about an eight hour window that you give yourself a sleep opportunity effectively. If you're doing all of the right things and you've really zoned in your diet, you can become very efficient in terms of what we call sleep latency, which is the time that it takes you to fall asleep, in enhancing the quality of the sleep when you are asleep, and then waking up as well. We can also use other hacks, which I can go into in a moment, in terms of a style of meditation that it is not meant to replace sleep, but is between 2 and 5 times deeper than sleep in terms of the effects that it can have. So if you have had a short sleep duration, there are things that you can do that can really re-energize you to help make up for it. And I'm not advocating that somebody tries to sleep 4 or 5 hours per night. I think when we look at the science, the effects on health once we dip below 6 hours don't look good. And risk factors for a number of things go up. But I think that by having the right sleep hygiene and the right lifestyle habits in place, we can make ourselves more efficient with sleep. And actually, it begins in the morning. So how you sleep tonight begins with how you started your day. And sometimes people find it difficult to go to sleep and they're not in alignment with their circadian rhythm. So I think understanding that there are different sleep chronotypes is helpful as well, because once you start to align with your own chronotype, it becomes much easier to sleep and get good quality sleep.
Okay, you're going to have to explain what a chronotype is. I know it's probably very technical and it would be a whole class in itself, but can you give us just a quick, what does that mean actually?
Yeah, so basically there are, broadly speaking, 3 sleep chronotypes. So either an early morning person, a night owl, or somebody who's a mid-type. And Dr. Michael Bruce, who's kind of America's sleep doctor, has created a 4th category. Now, he talks about them in terms of animals. So your lion is the early morning, the bear is like the mid-type, then you have the wolf, which is effectively the night owl, and then the dolphin, which is about 10%, he believes, of the world's population, who actually genuinely do struggle with things like insomnia and are much lighter sleepers. But for 90% of the population, they tend to fall within one of those other categories. And about 50% of people are the kind of mixed type or bear. So they would be most in alignment with the rise and fall of the sun in terms of equatorial regions. So, and that would be your classic kind of go to bed around 10:30 and wake up at sort of 6:30. That would be your typical bear. And then we have people who are more early morning types. And they tend to be, that's your 5 a.m. club. So there's a lot of entrepreneurs in that group that are there, but it's definitely not for everyone. And then we also have a significant number of people who actually, they make up about 15 to 20% of the population, and the same again in terms of the night owls. So when you start to understand that, because what I find with clients is sometimes when they're really trying to target their sleep, they'll try to go to bed earlier and then they're lying awake. And actually, it could be that they're just completely out of alignment. And if they want to deliberately bring that sleep window earlier in terms of the time they fall asleep, then one of the things you can do is really to get outside as early in the day as you can and get that stimulus from the sun and that natural blue light spectrum, which will stop the production of melatonin and start that circadian alignment.
That was fascinating. Okay, so I have to back up. I don't normally get into this in Amplifier Success, but I feel like there's a really intriguing story of how you went from being a lawyer to tapping into these biohacks around sleep. And I know we'll talk more about exercise and nutrition, but what happened that created this major shift in your focus in your work?
So, like many lawyers, I think I completely disrespected sleep, and actually it was really actively encouraged. So we were working often, you know, pulling off multinational deals across time zones. So, you know, working between Asia and America and London would mean that we pretty much had no sleep, and we would work all night often. So pulling off all nighters, a series of them, and long weekends of work. And that really led to be honest, I think many people in your 20s and to a certain extent your early 30s, you kind of just get away with it, right? And it doesn't really seem to take its toll. But for me, it had an impact once I came to have children, because that obviously for women, you know, places a bigger burden in terms of pregnancy and the demands on nutrients and the body. And I had my 3 kids within sort of 4.5 years. So they were quite quick after each other. And that was when I really saw a huge decline. They weren't good sleepers as babies. And with that background of kind of adrenal exhaustion and lack of sleep, it really aggravated. I think I would have had postpartum depression anyway, but it aggravated it, I think, on a grander scale, and became very bad until I then eventually, it took its toll on my physical health. And I was actually rushed into hospital with what was suspected lung cancer at the time, because my lymph glands were so enlarged. I did have pneumonia, and it turned out it was double viral and bacterial pneumonia. So it was all kind of happening so quickly and really fighting for my life. And that was a huge turnaround, because I realized that, you know, my lifestyle had really got me here. And how could I change things when I came out? Because I felt so lucky after that, really, to get my health back. And that's when I began researching, well, how can you combine? You know, there must be a way of combining high performance with health. And that was when I began to realize that actually health was the very foundation of sustained high performance.
You know, your story really touches my own heart because of my own journey around entrepreneurism and workaholism. And I didn't have kids, but I had a significant amount of stress that brought me to a deep place of burnout and adrenal fatigue. And it's very scary to be there. And here's what I noticed about me, and maybe this was also up for you. Well, certainly there's a depression and a chronic anxiety that kind of gets activated, but I found myself not very resilient. And things that should have been easier, could have been easier, were really hard for me, especially emotionally. And I know you talk about emotional resilience in your work. How does that play in? Like, how does the dance between these lack of foundational blocks, the sleep, exercise, nutrition, and our resilience emotionally to run a successful business?
It's a great point. I mean, I think that emotional resilience is key, and people feel like they're resilient, but often you'll feel people that feel almost in charge or display it will never ask for help. Mm-hmm. And actually that really being emotionally resilient, part of that is the ability and understanding that you do need to ask for help. It's not about doing everything you can, just yourself, and taking too much on. But resilience really is about that ability to bounce back, to take some stress and to come back stronger. And it's all in the recovery. And what I notice with people like, you know, myself, yourself, and many entrepreneurs and other kind of people who are really pushing hard and are workaholics is that they're just not taking the time to recover. And the recovery is so, so important. It's a bit like when we go to the gym, you know, our muscles are not really made there. That's just the stimulus. And what we need to constantly do is to stimulate and recharge. And ultimately, that's what really leads to transformation. It's that constant cycle, if you like, of stimulation and then recharging. And that transforms. And I think if people understood that recharge was as important, I like to think of it as the art of high performance, right? So it's activation, recharging, transformation, and you follow that loop essentially, if that makes sense.
And by stimulation, we don't mean caffeine, right? We don't mean drinking coffee all day. What do you mean by stimulation?
Yeah, and I fell into that trap as well.
Me too.
Stimulating is really about kind of creating that resilience. So using small doses of stress, we need that to make us stronger. So that comes across in all fields. So whether we're trying to get a new result, we've got to kind of stimulate ourselves and our activity and our creativity to achieve that outcome. But then that's enhanced by sufficient recovery. Similarly, if you look at the healthiest foods on the planet, you know, why do we eat plant foods that are full of antioxidants and polyphenols? People know that they're good. Why are they good? Because actually, those are defense mechanisms that the plant created. And when we have them, they are a form of hormesis, hormetic stress, which is a good stress that creates resilience within our body. So then with exercise, what are we doing? We're stimulating and then recovering. And I think pretty much everything follows this cycle. And if people can understand that you've got to have that balance of recharge, you can't just push, push, push all the time, because actually that just leads to decline.
Well, let's talk more about exercise and nutrition, because I know it's part of your model. You know, we've kind of woven our way from, you know, sleep and emotional resilience and the stressors, burnout. How is exercise and nutrition fitting into this model, these biohacks that you think are valuable?
So the way that we fuel our body, if we look at nutrition first, has an enormous impact in terms of our productivity. So every time that we eat, then cortisol goes up, okay, because it is a stress in terms of digestion. And we want to try to keep cortisol levels low or at least balanced so that we don't lead to inflammation in the body. We also need to fuel our body in the right way, in a healthy way, and avoid things like pro-inflammatory processed fats, processed sugars, because they too create inflammation within the body. And when we have high levels of inflammation, it predisposes us to chronic disease, but it also leads to problems in the brain as well. So when people talk about brain fog, for example, that can often come as a result of the diet that they're eating. And when they start to pay attention and they remove these processed foods and they have really good levels of protein that help to break down into amino acids, which are the building blocks of everything in the body, with really, really healthy fats, good amounts of antioxidants and fiber, and balanced blood sugar levels. They don't get these ups and downs or highs and lows in energy production. Everything's more stable. So the way that we fuel our bodies makes a huge impact in the way that we function both mentally and physically. So that's kind of the nutritional component. And then looking at exercise, it's really important to be physically fit. That helps to enhance the production of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which helps the formation and connection of neurons in the brain. So it's really, really important as well. But also being physically active and having good lean muscle mass helps to make us more, we have better glucose tolerance and better insulin sensitivity as well, which in turn affects our overall health and our performance. So it's really, really important to have those three things. I talk about four really. It's the nutrition, the exercise, the sleep, and then stress. And stress divides into two. So we've got deliberately stressing. Stress is a good thing in some respects, and having this hormesis. And then we've got the balance of offsetting and lowering the stress and recovering.
So I'm picturing that this is like a diet almost. It's like a protocol for productivity, right? And, yeah. You know, diets are popular. We've got all kinds of diets. We've got paleo. We've got keto. We've got, you know, all of these newfangled things. If we were going to follow a protocol or a diet, I think you call it, what would be the right approach there?
So this is where I do tend to dive into people's genetics a little bit. So we each process carbohydrates and fats in a different way. And how much freedom we have in terms of flexibility comes down in part, metabolic flexibility comes down in part down to things like muscle mass, which is really important, but also our genetics and the way we process these compounds. So the ketogenic diet is often associated with high mental function, okay, by giving the brain less carbohydrates and higher fats, and it learning to use ketones, it can give you hours of productivity and mental clarity. And we get similar results when we're fasting as well. And people can feel very energized. Whether or not a strict ketogenic diet is right for you, you do actually need to dive into your genetics and look at your susceptibility or your sensitivities to things like saturated fats and to understand whether it is an appropriate diet for you. Similarly, in terms of the blood sugar fluctuations that we see, part of this is circadian. So we know that we're going to have a postprandial dip post-lunch. That happens because that's part of our circadian rhythm. And there's a small amount of melatonin that is released after lunch. Now you can avoid some of that by actually going outside and taking a walk. Even just standing outside for 5 or 10 minutes will just shut off that melatonin release. A lot of people will try and compensate for it with caffeine. But what I find with many clients is actually by structuring your diet so that you're not having carbohydrates at lunchtime will lead to much less of that dip because you've got a lot more stable blood sugar. So having really good quality protein with healthy fats, so like oily fish, salad, vegetables, soups, things like that, with obviously good levels of protein can really help to stabilize blood sugar and lead to that renewed productivity in the afternoon. How much freedom you have in terms of carbohydrates and the response of your blood sugar is in part genetic. So some people are just much more sensitive to carbohydrates, and they're going to see a bigger fluctuation than someone else. And as I mentioned, having good levels of muscle mass is also going to help improve that glucose tolerance as well.
So it's kind of a lot of puzzle pieces to figure out on your own, especially if you're not an expert in all of this. Yeah. I mean, I've studied this for years since I started to learn about, all of the things that I was dealing with, from fatigue and having depleted my adrenals and all of that. There was a lot to learn. And I know how valuable it's been to kind of have guides around this and to help me take the mystery out of all the puzzle pieces and figure out my own personal path. If someone's thinking to themselves like, oh my gosh, I could totally use this. My sleep's a mess. I know I'm not exercising properly, or, you know, I'm confused about nutrition. I don't feel at my greatest. What would be a good place for them to start to learn from you?
Yeah. So I have a video series that they can access. That's a kind of a 4 set of masterclasses that they can watch on this. And I actually break down each component for them. So we look at nutrition and how your genetics might impact this. We look at exercise and why it's so important to get strong. And then we look at sleep and how that affects your hormones and your appetite as well, and how your own DNA sort of weaves through this and how you can utilize that to interpret and zone in and get the best diet for you. And then it also looks at this elixir of youthfulness, right? Which I define as, you know, what's high performance health? It's when your brain and body do what you want them to do at the time that you want to do it, right? That's the ultimate that I think everybody wants. They don't want to walk into a room and forget why they went in there. They want to be able to run when they need to, play with their kids and grandkids, have fun, and really live younger for longer. And this masterclass series breaks it down. So I think we've put a special link together for you, actually, Melanie, for your listeners, if they want to access it, on my website, angelafosterperformance.com/amplify. And they can go there and watch the series and basically find out more information there.
Oh, that is brilliant. I love it. And I am so, I don't want to say I'm obsessed, but I'm very intentional about my own experience. I mean, I'm not perfect. Like, I like my coffee. It's my one thing I do every day, but I've also really, I've personally committed to the up-leveling of the exercise, nutrition, sleep components, because I intend to make a great impact on this planet. And I have seen, not just in myself, but in my clients, the cost of not having these foundational components really optimized. And so I'm personally very grateful, Angela, that you're putting this out in the world and sharing it, because I know it's fuel. It's fuel for our business stream, and that we can literally fuel our business by fueling ourselves.
Absolutely. I couldn't sum it up better myself. And I think if you really want to make an impact in the world in that way, it starts with you and taking care of you, because you need a tremendous amount of energy to actually give that. So it's like, well, how can I harness that energy on a continued basis? And how can I effectively live younger for longer? And what we know when we look at centenarians and super centenarians across the world is that they don't live longer than we do with the chronic diseases we're seeing in the modern world. They actually postpone the onset. And that really is a preventative strategy and down to your health optimization.
I agree. Well, thank you for sharing this resource. I would love to kind of dig a little bit deeper into Angela and the brilliance that you've amassed in your journey. I always like to ask my guests, what was the boldest move you made in your journey to where you are today?
The boldest move was leaving law. At the time that I did it, I'd made partner in the law firm. So I'd kind of got to where I wanted to get to. And interestingly, I was actually looking at becoming a judge. And I think the boldest thing I ever did was to step away from that and enter a new world of entrepreneurialism and health. But I'm so glad that I did, because I think it definitely helps me make more of an impact and help enrich other people's lives way more than I ever did as a lawyer.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think we can spend all this time and money investing in a career path that we think is going to be the career path. And when we realize, oh, that's not my path, it does require some courage to you know, take a new path on. So bravo. What do you think was your biggest learning?
My biggest learning was this element of recovery, the need for it. I still have to remind myself, you know, I'm that kind of person that just feels that they can kind of do anything or do as much as they want to without actually taking a step back. And I think that the biggest learning for me has been understanding that my performance is enhanced when I take time to recover. And it's oh so hard to do, but I think it is so, so important. And it doesn't even have to be, people think of that as taking a vacation, for example. Actually, it's about micro recoveries on a continual basis and understanding that, you know, if you work, for example, you do a great block of work for 90 minutes, going and doing something fun, putting on a good song, you know, dancing, singing, or going and doing a really quick 4-minute Tabata workout, something like that just enables you to recover. And just understanding that and having fun and being able to relax is really key.
And I would imagine that it is something that many of us have to retrain a part of our brain to prioritize it, because when we get really obsessed about the work we're doing in the world and, you know, we're in that groove, it's like, oh, wait, I got to do this other thing to keep fueling, you know, myself for the work we do.
Mm. Yeah, it's so true. And I think it is just reminding yourself, but actually setting up your day so that you are doing things like that. You know, I think routine very much equals results. So the more that we can automate things and we just understand that's what we do. Meditation has been a huge performance hack for me. And I never thought I would say that. I was the kind of person that couldn't sit still. And a daily practice when I wake up actually gives me so much more mental clarity and resilience throughout the day. And I think the more that we systemize these things and we know that we do things at certain times, structure creates freedom effectively. And I think people sometimes resist structure because they think that it just becomes too orderly, but actually it gives you a lot more flexibility in the long run.
That's one of my mottos. Structure creates freedom.
Ah.
I love it. So
we're Andrew, aligned.
We are. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your journey with us and inspiring many of our Amplify community to step this part of their game up and to recognize the value that sleep and exercise and nutrition and really that self-care in a way is actually the fuel we need to have the sustainability for the great business we're building and the impact we want to have. So I want to remind you to jump in and watch this masterclass series that Angela's put together, angelafosterperformance.com/amplify. We will link that up in the show notes just to make it easy for you. And remember, join us in the Amplify Your Success community to help really, like, let's create some momentum around this. Let's build up the value and the reinforced habits required to do this. So I'd love to hear you shout out that you're learning from Angela and what you're putting into action. And let's inspire some more of our community to jump in there as well. So thank you, Angela.
Thanks so much, Melanie. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.